الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبه ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله واسع عليم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صوموا عاشوراء وخالفوا اليهود صوموا يوما قبله أو يوما بعده أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. Allah Ta'ala has once again blessed us with this very great blessing of witnessing this Mubarak day of the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, and to experience the blessings of these occasions is a very, very great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. MashaAllah, many would have taken this great opportunity of fasting on this day and reaping the rewards and benefits of it. There are two lessons that we have to nevertheless take way beyond this occasion. One is the very day of this great occasion, the blessings to take through the amal that have been encouraged. But then there are lessons to take way beyond it as well. In terms of the virtues of this day, one message, one lesson that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us, مَنْ وَسَّعَ عَلَىٰ عِيَادِهِ يَوْمَ عَاشُرَىٰ وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّنَةَ كُلَّهَا, that the one who will be generous upon his family on the day of Ashura, Allah will be generous upon him throughout the year. So mashallah, this is something which is quite well known and everybody tries to do the best they can in practicing on it. And it doesn't require a person to go out of his way beyond his means. Within his means, what little more he can do in the meal of the day, feeding his family something better, etc., that too will earn him the great benefit of this. But the lesson to then take, this doesn't finish off with the day of Ashura. One is to try and take this virtue on this day, obviously. But the lesson of generosity in itself, that this is part of a mu'min. Generosity is part of a mu'min. Alhamdulillah, this is very evident in the community on a whole, that whenever there's some situation, whenever there's some problem, some difficulty, then people, alhamdulillah, open their hearts out and they assist whoever they can, to whatever extent they can. This is the hallmark of a mu'min. And this is what we should bring alive even more. And in a way that maintains his legacy in the generations to come. And especially in the time that we are in, and in the conditions that surround us, the tensions and the whatever other negative situations that are hovering above us, then in these times, one of the very important things to be increasing tremendously is sadaqah. Sadaqatu tutfi'u ghadab ar-Rabb. Sadaqah, it extinguishes the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. Obviously, the most important thing is tawbah. In these conditions that are around us and throughout the world, the difficulties around the ummah, the most important thing is tawbah. Because tawbah is to now repair one's relationship with Allah Ta'ala. And we are wanting to gain Allah Ta'ala's help, Allah Ta'ala's grace, His blessings. If we don't restore our relationship with Allah Ta'ala, that relationship which has been broken through sins, through all the vices that we have been falling into, whatever wrongs we are getting caught up in, the sins of the eyes, the sins of the ears, the sins of the heart, the wrong dealings, and whatever other vices that are happening, Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us. Tawbah from that is essential. All the wazaif, everything else comes after. It is like a person trying to build a house, but he's not prepared to put the foundation first. How much is that wall going to, how long it's going to stand, how high is that house going to go? It will collapse, it won't. The benefit of all this is in its place, but on the foundation of sincere tawbah and coming back to Allah Ta'ala. So in any case, that's the most important thing that we have to do, we have to get everybody else to do. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, all of you make tawbah. Jami'an, all the believers, everyone. Everyone make tawbah so that you will be successful. We want the success, we want the peace, we want the security, we want all the good things. Allah has given that prescription for us in the Quran Sharif. Come back to Allah Ta'ala. Come back to Allah Ta'ala, you become Allah's. Allah has given us, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ. You help Allah, Allah will help you. Allah is not in need of anybody's help. Help the deen of Allah Ta'ala, come back onto the deen of Allah Ta'ala fully, Allah's help and nusrat will come. So in any case, one of the things to do in abundance, together with tawbah, with istighfar, and with abundance of salah, salatul haja, and abundance of zikr, one of the very important things is sadaqah. In this occasion of Ashura, this is one of the highlights of this occasion, of being generous for the occasion, but then to carry on. And mashallah, together with whatever generosity is generally, alhamdulillah, a very evident part of the community. But a lot of times, together with whatever generosity is displayed, there's a lot of wastage also. There's a great amount of wastage in so many different things. The generosity will not exonerate us from the wastage. It doesn't mean that a person, mashallah, was very generous to somebody, he gave somebody 1,000 rand in sadaqah. So if he spent 1,000 rand in some haram, this will take care of that. No, he'll be answerable for that. And he'll be taken to task for wasting Allah's ni'mat in haram. And even if it was something in total wastage, that too is Allah's, it is Allah's right that that be spent correctly, he will be taken for task for that wastage as well. So this is a very important aspect to always bear in mind, that mashallah, whatever generosity, whatever contribution towards good causes, Allah accept, Allah grant the tremendous barakat in it, Allah Ta'ala increase the ni'mats. But that doesn't mean that it gives us a license to waste Allah's ni'mats in other things. So in any case, this is one very important lesson, and we should try and increase the sadaqat. Then another very, very important lesson that we get on this occasion of Ashura, where in one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sumu Ashura wa khaliful Yahud. That keep the fast of Ashura. This was a practice that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already keeping up with. Before the month of Ramadan became compulsory to fast, it was this one day in the year was compulsory. The day of Ashura. After Ramadan became compulsory, this became a nafil fast. But it was always observed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then at some point in time, this information came through to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Yahud also fast on this day. So he asked them, why you fast? So he said, well, we are fasting because Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel were saved from Fir'aun and his people on this day, on the 10th of Muharram. So as a token of thanksgiving, we fast. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, we are closer to Musa alayhi salam than you. Your claim is just lip service. But in any case, what the point was, that this was already being done. This fast of the 10th of Muharram was already in place, meaning this became an added aspect in it, that is a form of thanksgiving to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something very, very deep and important for us. And he said that continue fasting on the 10th of Muharram, because this very question came up that the Yahud, aren't we resembling them? So this wasn't done in resemblance of them. It just coincidentally happened that it came to light, they also fasting. But despite that this was not done because they were doing it, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam still gave the instruction, fast on the day of Ashura, but sumu yawman qablahu aw yawman ba'da. Also fast one day before or one day after. So now you will be keeping two fasts, they keep one, that outer resemblance also has been broken. In other words, this is how important maintaining this clear identity of a Muslim was, that any kind of even outer resemblance was not tolerated. No, no. While we didn't do this for their purposes, this was not because they are doing it. We are doing it because this is the virtue of the time. And Allah Ta'ala has put the virtue and blessings in this. But we'll not keep up with that external resemblance as well. And how will that be broken? By adding one day. So the 9th and 10th or the 10th and 11th. Now this is a very, as mentioned, that there are certain virtues for the day, for the occasion, but there are lessons to be taken throughout the year. There are lessons for life. And one very important lesson, crucial lesson, is this lesson. The lesson that we have a completely distinct identity. A mu'min has his own distinct culture. And this is the culture that is being upheld. The culture of Islam. What is the culture of a mu'min? The culture, what does culture? The word is very widely used. Everybody uses it. Anybody does something, say, no, this is my culture. What does culture really mean? Culture is actually a way of life. And the way of life of a mu'min, Allah has already defined it in the Quran Sharif. Inna deena inda Allah. Deen means way of life. So culture is a way of life. Allah has defined what is the culture of a mu'min. The culture of a mu'min, the only culture, the only way of life acceptable in the court of Allah Ta'ala is Islam. Nothing else. And Islam is not confined to the masjid. Islam is not in the month of Ramadan only. Islam is not just only in certain aspects of life. Deen, entire way of life, every aspect of a mu'min's life is part of his deen. And when a person ends up like we are, in a place where we are outnumbered by people who are not Muslim. So now we are living in the midst of people of different cultures. And by and large, it's the Western culture that is dominant. Now we are living in the midst of that. What happens with time is that people start taking things from other cultures. Now this is something that happens anywhere and everywhere. When people of different cultures start interacting, start living side by side, then people take things from one culture, one side to the other, sometimes on both sides. And then sometimes it becomes such, they say that one side takes so much on the other that they become totally assimilated. Everything goes away. They don't have any sign left of their own culture. Now this may be sounding all, what kind of detail is this and what's... But in many parts of the world where Muslims migrated in huge numbers, and they migrated in a way where they were completely and totally identifiable as Muslims individually and as communities. In huge places, in huge parts of South America, etc., this happened in hundreds of thousands of people migrated, in the millions maybe. And they came from Arab lands, they came from wherever. And as distinct Muslim communities, by the third generation, because they were taking everything from the culture that they now settled within, by the third generation, there wasn't even any sign of Islam left, and in many cases, not even the kalima left. Not even the kalima left. And when over time, later, much later, when people, jamaats went to these countries and so on, and somebody comes with one wrapped up in a cloth, he said, I don't even know what's this. My grandfather used to read it. It's the Quran Sharif. But he doesn't even know what it is. Somebody comes with something, the musalla. He said, I don't know, but my grandfather or grandmother used to pray on this. But what she used to do, I have no idea. Everything went. But did everything go overnight? Just suddenly they forgot the Quran Sharif, they forgot their Muslim names. They just suddenly forgot that they were Muslims. It happened overnight? No, no, it doesn't happen overnight. The culture changes sometimes, it takes a long time, it takes a couple of generations. But it happens gradually. And bit by bit, it starts getting absorbed. into something else until nothing remains. Now, those who initially might have seen some slip happening and said, well, these are small things, no big deal, let it happen. Don't make a big hue and cry about it. Then the next generation came, they said, well, this is not such a, because they already came 10 steps down. So they don't even know what the standard was at that point. And now at this point, what was happening now, the slip, further slip, it sounded small compared to the present position. So they said, let this happen to what's in there now, not a big deal. And then that slipped further until everything slipped. And then not even the name of Islam remained. So now this culture shift, it's not just a cult, the culture, because everybody uses the word. So it's just it's becoming a deen. Deen is slipping. And this is what has been very clearly the target of the enemies of Islam. When the British left India, so at that time, their primary purpose when they came and overtook the place was to destroy Islam and the Muslims. That was their agenda. Hundreds of thousands of Quran Sharif they burnt up, thinking that they will burn the Quran Sharif, there will be no Quran Sharif left. Until to their shock, they realized people have it in their hearts. They didn't know about it. That young children have the Quran Sharif in their hearts. So that is something that will never ever happen, that they'll be able to destroy the Quran Sharif. But when they left the country, one of their main people who was based there, Lord Macaulay, this is on record, and his statements are all found well recorded in many places in the internet or never, that we are leaving this country, but we will leave behind such an education system, though we won't be here, but those who will go through it, they will finish off with doubts in their religion. And we'll leave behind people who will be Indian in color, in blood and color, but they will be English in taste, in morals. What morals is what morals? What kind of dressing? That immoral dressing, that's morals. If two couples meet, then this person, this husband, will hug that person's wife. That's the morality of that they are talking about. So we leave behind people who will be Indian in blood and color, but who will be English in their taste, meaning their preferences. They will prefer the lifestyle, what has been given from that end. They'll prefer the hairstyle that was given from that end. They'll prefer all these things that came from the kuffar, in taste, in morals, in their lifestyle in general. And this is what they did. This is how they left things behind. And then gradually things changed so much, and many people got left with the name of Islam. Those who took from that way of life, they got left with the name of Islam. But they started, na'uzu billah, reneging against many fundamentals of deen. Now, not confined to one part of the world. Unfortunately, this is on our own shores. How many times person who is a musalli, regular musalli, maybe some youngster, somebody not so young, but then they start asking some questions, but the question now belies what's inside. And what is inside? The person is doubting some fundamentals of deen. Person is na'uzu billah doubting akhirat. The person is doubting the Quran Sharif. One person asked one mufti a question, that he's already now planning to get married to this girl, but now something is making him doubt whether it's now everything is in order. He said, what's the doubt? So she says that, well, how now? She calls herself a Muslim and everything. She might be performing salah too. But she says, but how na'uzu billah, summa na'uzu billah, how can you really accept that the Quran Sharif is the word of God? Because you're accepting one man's word in it. You're accepting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's word on it. One man's word, how na'uzu billah can you accept? Where's the iman? Zero iman left. That very statement is now she probably dresses up, Allah knows best, as a Muslim or not. She might be performing salah. But this is her heart. How that became the situation? It just happened overnight. What seemed to be small things here and there, and then the media, and then the education system, all this shapes the mind and heart. It shapes the mind and heart to think in a certain way. It's very recently. Very recently talking about barely met perhaps 2 weeks ago. So one girl, her parents had admitted her into one madrasa to some for dini education. So then she left. Why she left? She found what she was being taught was oppressive. Meaning the concepts that are being taught there, she found it, na'uzubillah, teaching something that's oppressive. What is oppressive? What deen is teaching, this is in her mind oppressive. So na'uzubillah, what she's calling deen? What is she calling Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now outwardly everything seems very fine, everything is going very well, everybody is happy, there's one happy family, but what's being under the surface? And where is it coming from? This is 2 weeks ago. And these things are just small echoes that we hear. The real sounds are all muffled, we don't get to hear it. People don't always voice all these things easily and openly. But within their own circles, a lot of these things are happening, are being spoken about. But once in a while, somebody will just say something and you get a shock where this person is coming from. But it starts off with these, what we call small things, what we decide, the style of dressing, for example, that changed. Our Muslim sisters, what kind of dressing they've adopted, what kind of appearance is being taken on. Small thing now, let it happen. So many other things are small, let it happen. Everything is small, let it happen. There's one ayat in the Quran Sharif where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this was primarily referring to the munafiqeen. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu may yartadda minkum an deen. You know, these people pretended to be believers. So Allah Ta'ala made it a general command. O you who believe, whoever reneges, he leaves out his deen. May yartadda minkum an deen. Allah is not in need of anybody. Nobody harms Allah Ta'ala by doing what he's doing. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. Allah will bring in place others who will love Allah, Allah will love them. And they will strive in the path of Allah, and they will not be concerned about the rebuke of those who rebuke them. Now this ayat of the Quran Sharif primarily refers to the munafiqeen who pretended to be Muslims, but they're out. And then on a general note, anybody leaves Islam, he harms himself. He doesn't harm Allah Ta'ala in any way. So now, this is referring to those who renege from deen. So how does this fit into our context of discussion? So the very great personality, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he wrote one entire book titled, Riddatun Wala Aba Bakrin Laha. He says, there's a flood of reneging, but there's no Abu Bakr standing in his way. And he was talking, referring rather to the incident when after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this dunya, some tribes far out on the outskirts and so on, they reneged. And some, they refused to pay zakat. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made it his priority that now we will go and fight against them. So many sahaba were of the view that, look, this is a very sensitive time. Looking with big eyes that the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala has just left. So these people will be in a weak position. This is a time to pounce upon them and swallow them up. So now everybody is now looking in this manner and they are planning and preparing. So we should not leave. We should be guarding Madina Munawwara and holding fort here. So this is not the priority now. Not that this is not important. Everybody understood the importance. But they felt this was not the priority. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was firm on his view. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu came and offered the same suggestion. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu hit him on his chest. And he said, Jabbarun fil jahiliya wa khawwarun fil Islam. You were a mighty fellow in the times of jahiliya. Now you've become a coward. But then the whole reality opened out to everybody. The priority of it. Everybody understood the importance. But they felt this is not the priority right now. He said, everybody will be part of it and nobody comes, I'll go myself. Everybody assured him, we are with you. And then they went and took care of this. Now, Hazrat Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, after quoting this entire days, that in the times that we live in also, there's a flood of reneging taking place. It might not be that a person, na'uzubillah, which sometimes unfortunately happens as well and is happening, people are openly rejecting Islam, Allah save us. Due to that jahalat, that ignorance, due to the exposure to all the kufr ideologies that they are reading up, they are listening to, and whatever else they're getting exposed to, that education system that is shaping their minds. that a person is coming out thinking Darwinism is it, and the entire theory of evolution, this is reality, na'uzubillah. And then somebody is coming out and is claiming, no, this homosexual lifestyle is right. So he's giving up his iman in them, because he's rejecting the Quran Sharif. So now this is shaping the mind to think in that way. And then all this kufr is coming out of the mouth sometime or the other. So any case, he's referring to this situation where many a times people don't say some things in that level. But fundamentals of deen, na'uzubillah, somebody, some discussion comes up about the hudud, the penalties that Islam has ordained. If a person in an Islamic country, if he is caught and guilty, found guilty of theft, various conditions apply, his hand will be cut. If a married person is found guilty of zina, fulfilling all the requirements of the evidence, then that married person will be stoned to death. Allah's law. So now, borrowing the same language of the West and the same language of the kuffar, Muslims take out from their tongues barbaric, na'uzubillah. In that one word, they gave their iman up. Sometimes it is about the concept of parda, for example. Somebody, mashallah, something came to his heart and mind. He understood this is, I was far away from fulfilling this law of Allah Ta'ala. So now he comes and he starts making it known to people around his family. I will be now doing this. My wife will not be intermingling with my brothers, for example, etc. So now somebody who's five times namazi too, na'uzubillah, they take objection to it. So taking objection to what? To Allah Ta'ala's law? So this is that reneging, zihni irtidad, intellectual apostasy. Person not prepared to accept Islam fully. This is that slipping that happens, that culture of Islam. And this happens because we now looking around what the Yahud have, what the Nasara are doing. And in this occasion of Ashura, we are being, this is a major lesson being highlighted. Sumu Ashura, a Khaliful Yahud, oppose the way of the Yahud. And many other ahadith, similar aspect has been highlighted, opposing the way of the Yahud and Nasara. We have a completely distinct way of life. We should hold on to that very, very firmly. Keep that alive in our children, and that must go on to the generations who come. Allah forbid we start accepting compromises. People who did that and accepted compromises, few generations down, it slipped so far, they lost everything. Allah Ta'ala save us from such a situation. Our deen is the most beautiful way of life that Allah Ta'ala has given us. We need to take it to heart and wholeheartedly accept it, hold fast onto it, and pass it on to others as well. That is also part of our duty, to give this beautiful deen of Islam to one and all. There are many times that we are in contact with people for years who don't have deen, but not once we even told them anything about the beauty of Islam. Once we have invited them, that why don't you also look into coming into Islam? What a beautiful deen. Why don't you come to the beauty of Islam? We haven't done that. We have to bring this alive and pass on this deen to one and all, and be ourselves steadfast on deen. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.